talk about missions, miracles, misery, and moxie. Here he comes. Don't tell him what we said about him. Thank you, John. I apologize, but he's the elder chairman, so I could ask him to do that. Thank you. I appreciate that. So let's go into this passage today. Today I would like to read the whole context first. It's still a long passage. It's a whole passage, but let's read the whole passage, and I'll read it. You follow along, and then we'll come back and talk about different sections in there. Oh, boy. Here we go. Good. Acts 14, 1 through 28. At Iconium, Paul and Barnabas went as usual into the Jewish synagogue. There, they spoke so effectively that a great number of Jews and Greeks believed. But the Jews who refused to believe stirred up the other Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. So Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there, speaking boldly for the Lord, who confirmed the message of his grace by enabling them to perform signs and wonders. The people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews, others sided with the apostles. There was a plot afoot among the both Jews and Gentiles, together with their leaders, to mistreat them and stone them. But they found out about it, and they fled to Lycaonian cities, Lystra and Derbe, and to the surrounding country, where they continued to preach the gospel. In Lystra, there sat a man who was lame. He had been that way from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul as he was speaking, and Paul looked directly at him, saw that he had faith to be healed, and called out, "Stand up on your feet." At that, the man jumped up and began to walk. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted in Lycaonian language, "The gods have come down to us in human form." Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul they called Hermes because he was the chief speaker. The priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought bulls and wreaths to the city gates because he and the crowd wanted to offer sacrifices to them. But when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard of this, they tore their clothes and rushed out into the crowd shouting, "Friends, why are you doing this? We too are only human like you. We are bringing you good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. In the past, he let all nations go their own way. Yet he has not left himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your heart with joy." Even with these words, they had difficulty keeping the crowd from sacrificing to them. Then some Jews came from Antioch and Iconium and won the crowd over. They stoned Paul and dragged him outside the city, thinking he was dead. But after the disciples had gathered around him, he got up and went back into the city. The next day, he and Barnabas left for Derbe. They preached the gospel in that city and won a large number of disciples. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. "We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God," they said. Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting, committed them to the Lord, in whom they had put their trust. After going through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. And when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attilia. From Attilia, they sailed back to Antioch, where they had been committed to the grace of God for the work they had now completed. On arriving there, they gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them, and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. And they stayed there a long time with the disciples. May God add a blessing to the reading of the scriptures. And let's pray it in this morning. Would you pray? God, since there's something you want me to hear, I'm willing to listen. Just give that prayer to God. God, since there's something you want me to hear, I'm willing to listen. God, I pray that you would be glorified, that everyone hearing this would be edified, and that Satan would be horrified. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Missions, miracles, misery, and moxie. Let's talk through this wonderful passage. I'm just going to tell you, this is a great passage, and I got done preparing this message, and I want to go preach it at a pastor's conference. I think pastors and preachers and leaders of churches probably get this. And for you, I hope you get something out of this passage. I hope it's as meaningful to you. But man, I'm just like fired up to go preach this to a bunch of preachers who need to hear it. But you'll get something hopefully out of it as well. We've got to do the map. We got to find out where we're at here. So we started this whole thing. Remember, it launched from Antioch. They went down to the seashore. They sailed over to Cyprus, did the whole island, left from Paphos. They went up to Perga, and then they went up to Antioch and Pisidian. Not Antioch over here, but the Antioch and Pisidian. And that's where we ended last week. This week, we're focusing on these three towns, Iconium, Lystra, Derbe. And then I noticed we go back to purple, and then we go from Derbe back to Lystra, to Iconium, then back to Antioch, then down to Perga, over to Attalia, back home to where we started. That's the figure. We're going to take care of a lot of ground this week. And so, Paul's first missionary journey, Paul and Barnabas. So let's talk through what we've seen. It says at the beginning, at Iconium, Paul and Barnabas went as usual into the synagogue, and they spoke so effectively that a great number of Jews and Greeks believed. But the Jews refused to believe, stirred up one another, and poisoned their minds against their brothers. So let's talk about missions. We've got a team getting ready to go to Jamaica. I spent two sessions teaching them about servanthood and teamwork. And you just never know what's going to happen on a missions trip, right? You guys know that, Rod and Darcy. Every team's different. Every situation's different. Weather might be different. And so you go into missions never knowing what's going to happen. However, there are some things that usually always happen, and that's what I think this story is. It's really generic, kind of. It starts with reception. Many believed. Well, that's off to a great start. Woo! We went and spoke the word of God, and many came to Christ. Woohoo! And then there's opposition. Negative people stirred up and poisoned the minds of the people. Isn't that just the way life is? You get off to a good start, you think ministry is great. They have a little saying about the first year of ministry at a church. It's called the honeymoon. The pastor's in his honeymoon phase. And I'm telling you, right now, that's when pastors get a lot of things done because the people don't dare say no yet. That's how come we tore apart your whole lobby the first year I got here. And we made a little cafe out there because you guys weren't afraid to say no yet. Now, since that time, it's a little bit trickier, right? But in the honeymoon stage, let's get stuff done. And so, boy, boom, let's go. So it's off to a good start. But then all of a sudden, people are like, well, I don't know. I don't know. As a pastor, I've shared this with many people, but some of the worst words I've ever heard is when somebody comes up to me and says, hey, pastor, we've been talking. As soon as I hear those words, we've been talking. I mean, I don't even know if I'm going to hear anything else that you say, because my mind's already imploded. What do you mean, you've been, when were you, who, how many of you, and what are you saying? What's happened that I'm not aware of? We've been talking. And in this case, they're stirring up the people. And that's what some people do. You know, they're pot stirrers. They're just going to stir the pot, you know. Julie tells me when she's cooking every once in a while, she goes, I gotta go for a second. Just make sure you stir the pot. Keep this. And if I'm not paying attention, I run over there and I start stirring, and then the black stuff comes from the bottom because it got, oh man. And I think that's what this kind of stirring up is. That they got it boiling. They got people boiling and got people thinking, yeah, I don't know. I don't know about these guys. And they stir it up, and now all of a sudden in the mix is a burnt mixture and it's a mess. And they poison the people. Man, we got off to a good start. But they keep giving instruction. Oh, if I was talking to pastors today, I'd say, get used to it. They're going to talk about you behind your back, and they're going to be poisoning the people. They're going to be saying negative things. Everybody has an opinion. Come on, pastors, don't worry about it. Just get up and keep preaching the word. And that's what they did. On mission, they preached. People got saved. They got problems, but they keep preaching. And then division comes. It's at that point that some sided, what a terrible phrase in the Bible, some sided with the Jews, and some sided with Paul and Barnabas. Let me just tell you, I say this all the time too, and I believe it's true. We always talk about how dangerous the world is. The world's out to get us. All the world's out to get us. The world is not going to stop the church. You know what affects the church in a bad way? The church. The worst enemy of the church is the church. We can cry all we want about that godless world and how evil and how worldly they are, but you know what? You know, they're not coming at us. But boy, inside. You know, the only thing that can stop Oakland from being effective is Oakland. I believe it's true.
Stirring up division.
People making sides over good stuff. I mean, you get some people, again, I know some people. When Pastor Don leads worship, it's always so much, there's so much noise. They got the drums up behind them. He's hyper. Yes, I am. I am. I get better when we're sleeping when we worship. That's much better. I don't know. We side. We take sides. Well, I like that better. And that doesn't seem that bad. I like, you know what? I don't like it, but I like it. And then, oh, what do you? And we choose. What? Well, we're not choosing sides here. We're not choosing. You know, we didn't hire Pastor Ted to come so you guys had a choice which pastor to like. I mean, you should love Pastor Ted and Jen. You should love them. But that doesn't mean if you love them, you can't love me. And if you love me, it doesn't mean you can't love Pastor Ted. For crying out loud, people. We're servants of the Lord. This is Paul and Barnabas. And Barnabas. Paul and Barnabas. Barnabas and Paul. Together. What are we taking sides? Again, this is so divisive. They sided with one or the other. So then the persecution comes. Oh, these people that took sides, now they're choosing to mistreat, and they got a plan, we're going to stone them. Oh, this gets vicious. These are religious people talking about murder. Let's stone them. Let's mistreat them. It's not enough that we're talking behind their backs. Now let's actually come out and just be angry and ugly about it. And then, oh, let's just go ahead and do capital murder. And after the persecution, they continued to preach. I love that. In verse 7, where they continued to preach the gospel. Oh, this is missions. You know what? This is so typical. Isn't it great? This is how ministry goes. And you might be saying, well, Pastor's whining about problems today. I really don't know. If there is anybody talking about me, I don't know about it. I'm waiting for the pastor. We've been talking. I don't know. I'm not referring to anything specific this morning at all. I'm just telling you that this is so typical. I know it to be true. Reception, opposition, instruction, division, persecution, proclamation. Don't quit giving people Jesus. Don't stop. It's the way it should be. We should continue to preach the gospel. But then we come on the heels of this typical revolving door of missions. We get to miracles. God says, hey, listen, I'm going to settle a debate. I'm going to use a miracle to show that I've given them power to preach the word. And so we see that in verse 8 through 10, God healed a man. Now, I know the Bible says Paul did it, but we know from passages in Acts that God's the one who does it. He goes and he works through people, but God's the one who does the healing. And this is a great miracle. This isn't one of those you can explain away. You know, a guy sprained his ankle and he's been down for a week. Paul comes and says, get up and walk. And he gets up and he walks. It's a miracle. You're like, well, maybe he's just got better. Not in this case. This guy's been lame since birth. He has never walked. You don't fake that. Did Paul set this up? Went to the family 30 years ago and said, hey, 30 years from now, we're going to do this really cool thing. I want you to fake it for me. Fake being lame. No. This was not set up. This guy's lame. He's on the ground. He's never walked. Paul sees that he has faith, and so he declares, get up and walk. And at that, he got up and walked. It's a miracle. That's why people are blown away. Matter of fact, men called Paul and Barnabas gods. Zeus and Hermes. They called Barnabas Zeus. Interesting. You know, they still see Barnabas as this leader. We don't know much about Barnabas, really. We do know that he kind of takes chair number two from this point on, because Paul is the chief speaker. He's the one that talks the most. But there's something about Barnabas, even though Paul's doing the talking, that the people recognize that this Barnabas guy is quite a something leader, so they call him Zeus. They call Paul Hermes, because Hermes was the spokesperson for Zeus. Now, they said this in the Iconian language. Paul and Barnabas didn't know what they were saying. That's why it's a shock to them when all of a sudden they're bringing bulls and goats and they're going to sacrifice, and Paul and Barnabas go, wait, what? No! No, 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 no! Don't! I love the humility of Paul and Barnabas. They respond to this weird situation. Now these people, they're worshiping false gods, they're worshiping Zeus and Hermes, and actually there was a history here, by the way. There was a natural disaster that had taken place in history, and the people thought it was because they hadn't sacrificed to Zeus and Hermes. They thought, they blamed this natural disaster, this destruction of a whole town, on the fact that they weren't doing worship. And so when they thought that Barnabas was Zeus and Paul was Hermes, they didn't want to make the mistake twice. They're like, oh boy, we better do it right. And so they went all out to worship these guys as gods. They've got the bulls coming, and they're going to sacrifice to them. Part of Paul and Barnabas right away. No, none of that. They mourn. Everybody say mourn.
Mourn.
This is a really deep, passionate emotion for them. We know it was a real, real important thing to them because they tore their clothes. In Jewish culture, when there was a clear blasphemy against God, they tore their clothes. Do you remember when Jesus claimed to be the Son of God? What did the Jewish priests do? They tore their clothes. So Paul and Barnabas realized that what these people were doing by declaring them gods was wrong. There's only one God, and so they ripped their clothes like, no, it's not true. And by the way, this is no small sacrifice. They didn't have a lot of clothes. How many of you got too much clothes in your closet? Oh, man. Once a year, I get excited and energetic, and I go through my closet, and I get rid of stuff I don't wear. If I haven't worn it in a year, I throw it in a pile. I bang it all up, and we take it to Goodwill, and I'm like, yeah! Then I go back and look at my closet, I'm like, there's still a lot of clothes. There's too much clothes. We've got lots of clothes. I haven't worn this in a long time. I found this deep in the closet. I thought, I'll wear this. Not Paul and Barnabas. They didn't have many, many outfits. They're missionaries on the road. And they better have thought this through, because if they rip these apart, what are they going to wear tomorrow? This is important. But they ripped their clothes because they mourned. No, we're not gods. They clarified, we are only human, just like you. Never in my time of ministry have I ever had to declare that. That's an amazing thing. No, no, no. I'm only human like you. Paul and Barnabas had to clarify. And then they rebuke them. Please turn from these worthless things. This worshiping Zeus and Hermes with sacrifice, that's worthless. Stop. Stop doing it. This is not typical, guys. This is over the top. Missions, that was typical. We got all the ups and the downs. That's ministry 101. This right here, after a miracle, this is over the top. This is not typical. And can you imagine, just stop and think with me for a second about the life of a leader. Think about a life of a leader. Think about people talking behind your back, and then they're talking about actually murdering you, killing you. And the next minute, they're bringing up bulls and goats, calling you a god. Can you imagine the heights and the lows? And here's the problem a lot of pastors get into. They believe the lies, and they believe the lies. Oh, God help us all in ministry not to be overrun by these kind of ups and downs. There's good seasons. There are bad seasons. Who's going to stick with it? I love that Paul and Barnabas stuck with it. They continued. After this miracle, they continue to make it clear it's about God. But then we have misery. In Acts 14, verse 9, there's a rebellion. This whole negative thing came all the way down to where they went to. So they left the town that was threatening to kill them. They went to a new town, and there the people came from the other towns, stirring up trouble again. And they won the crowd over there. There's a rebellion, and then there's rage. Did you pay attention to how the Bible says this happened? Pay close attention to this. Verse 19. So Jews came from Antioch and Iconium. Oh, they weren't content to complain in their own town. They had to come bring it to the new town. And they're stirring up division. And what do? They stoned Paul and dragged him outside of the city. Hey, friends, this is outright rage. Because you know that they typically dragged a person outside of town and then stoned them. This tells me there's an evil, demonic, murdering spirit. They're so angry at Paul and Barnabas, they can't even wait. Right there in the city, they're hurling rocks. And I imagine that Paul's hit in the head over and over again, and the body, and he goes down, and I imagine he's bloody and beaten and unconscious. This is a bad scene. The Bible says that they thought he was dead. Because when you hurl rocks at somebody's head over and over again, and they go down and they're bleeding, I mean, now, here's the debate. Was he dead? We don't know for sure. He actually might have been dead and God raised him up to keep going. Or they thought he was dead. I lean toward the latter because the Bible says he thought he was dead, indicating that they were wrong. Regardless, he is beaten and bloody and it's a mess. But what happens next? The retribution, yeah, that came with the people from Antioch and Iconium. They're not happy just being negative. They want to spread their negativity. But this is over the top. This is crazy anger. And I want to warn you people in a church, don't let bitterness take root. Don't let bitterness take root. That's how Satan wins, if he gets in there and lets bitterness grab you. Because bitterness is just poison. It's over the top. We have missions, which is typical. We've got miracles, which is not typical. But now we've got this is over the top rage. They couldn't help themselves. They wanted him dead. But then we've got the moxie. That's where I want to focus our attention today. Moxie. Everybody say moxie. I knew you wanted to say. Verse 20. But after the disciples had gathered around him, he got up and he went back into the city. Oh, I love that. Can you imagine? You just nailed it too, because that's where I was going with this. Can you imagine the disciples? Paul's dead. They killed him. We watched it. They stoned him in rage. They're hurling rocks at this man. He's down. And they all gather around Paul. Probably thinking we got to bury him before sundown because that's a Jewish custom. And then I hear the Rocky theme. And you nailed it. All yesterday I was like, I couldn't. Rocky. He gets fat. You ever watch the Rocky movies? Oh, they're sappy, written so horrible, but we love that. Don't you love it? When he's down? I don't care who it is, a good boxer and then a Russian for some reason. I don't know who, but everybody beats him down. And Rocky, and we even love the prep scenes before the big fight. When Rocky has to run, and he's lifting weights, and the whole time, we all want to run up the steps in Philadelphia. Woo! Have you been there? I've been there. I've taken teams to inner city Philadelphia. And when we did that, that's when the Rocky sculpture used to be at the top of the steps. And I would take every team and I'm like, go! And they'd be like, da 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 da. And they'd run up there. And I see this scene is like, it's moxie at its best because Paul is down. He's been murdered viciously. And he gets back up. Now that would be good enough. But he doesn't just get back up. He gets back up and goes right back into the city. Can you imagine the people washing their hands after their deed was done? The adrenaline's finally coming out of them because they went through the stoning and they're like, well, we took care of that guy. And then they hear from behind them, and as I was saying, what? You turn around, you see this bloody, beaten pulp talking, sharing the gospel, talking about Jesus. Moxie! I don't know about you, man. I just want to do that all day long. Moxie. He got up and went back into the city. And then the Bible says they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. They've had problems there, you guys. Every one of these cities, they left because they were threatening them, poisoning people, talking about murder. And what does he do? He goes right back into the city he got stoned in. And then they decide, let's do a retour. Let's do a tour. And so we've got all the way to Derby when this happens. And now they're like, let's go back and visit these guys. And let's go there. And let's go back here. And every one of those cities they had hated. Division. And then here they come again, Paul and Barnabas with moxie. And as we were saying, and they continue to preach the word. Oh, I don't know about you. It might not mean much to you, but I get fired up. We must endure hardships to enter the kingdom of God, verse 22. That's a hard verse. Some people will read that and say, oh, so you've got to earn your way into heaven. I don't think that's what it means. That's why I put the word before there. We must endure hardships before entering the kingdom of heaven. I think that's more along the lines of what Paul and Barnabas meant. We know from past scriptures and Acts, remember when Paul was Saul and he got, I saw the light, and he came to faith in Christ, and then his whole life changed, and then he shows back up, and they're like, I don't think so. Remember the one guy was told to come and get his eyes, the scales off his eyes, and he's like, I don't know, God, he's a murderous person. And God's like, no, I'm telling you, he's changed. And he's like, I'm not sure. He goes, hey, listen, God said, I will show Paul all the things that he must suffer. So God said right from the beginning, when he called Paul, that ministry was going to be tough. So Paul and Barnabas are telling the people in these towns, hey, listen, we got to go through a lot. You will suffer a lot before you get to heaven. And it's true. Some of you might have received Christ thinking that it was a one-way street to happiness at all times. No. I mean, a lot of people whose faith is shaken because they come to Christ and get saved, and they're hearing the Rocky theme song. They're like, I got a new life. And something hits them square in the head. They're like, wait, I'm a Christian. I came to faith. What's that? That's called life. That's called, read the Bible and you'll see that we suffer. This world is not heaven. While we're here, we will endure hardships, suffering, broken relationships with people, bad diagnoses from doctors, getting old. It's not fun. And the truth is, you and me, pastors, missionaries, people in the pews, we need some moxie. We need some moxie. We need to get knocked down and get right back up again. We need to hit the deck and say, but I'm not out. Oh, you can't count me out. You're going to have to stone me better than that. Try better next time, because if you don't kill me physically, then I'm going to keep living for the Lord. That's moxie. Oh, I love that kind. That's admirable. When I read this passage, Acts 14, I'm like, you go, boys. Man, that's admirable. And then I didn't add this into the big idea because it's not as fun, but then we got a ministry report. See, they go back home, and that's how we wrap up missions, is with a missionary report. So they go all the way back to Antioch, where they had been committed. Remember, the church there had prayed for them and sent them on the way, and now they make it all the way back. And by the way, it says they reported all that God had done through them. All that God had done. Again, Paul and Barnabas are always giving God the glory. Oh, you see the ups and downs, friends. We hate you. We're going to kill you. We love you. You're God. And we do kill you. But we get back up again. And we tell them about Jesus. What a great passage in Acts. They reported all that God had done through them. And we make it all the way back home. After they get to here, they go over to Italian. The last time they're telling people about Jesus, then they sail back to where they started. And that is Paul's first missionary journey. Oh, it's going to take some missions and a mess, some miracles, and a lot of moxie. I pray that God would give you that kind of strength. Because if you're counting on your own strength, it's not enough. His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. Right? So count on God to give you that stick-to-itiveness. That I'm going to keep going. You can knock me down, but I'm going to keep talking about Christ. I want to close our service today. I have the team come and join me as we do the closing thing, because people like to finish the whole slides. Conclusion, God wants us to continue in the faith when we experience hardships. Don't go back to the empty things that you have been redeemed and set free from. Don't go back to the worthless stuff. That's what Paul and Barnabas were telling those people. Don't worship us. Don't worship Zeus and Hermes. That's worthless. Don't go back. Trust God. Have moxie. Let me pray. Father God, I pray today that your people would see that ministry is hard. It takes stick-to-itiveness. We can expect hardships. But God, it's so worth it when people come to know you, when lives are changed. So God, help us to look at a passage like this and be moved at the testimony of those who've gone before us, that they didn't give up, even when things got tough. God, help us to not believe our critics, not believe those who worship us, but help us to just fully commit ourselves to who you are. May we do it all for your glory, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Why don't you stand with us? We